Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing very well. Good. I'd like to visit again with that little incident, that little killing that occurred over in Turkey, a Saudi Arabian being killed, and it's still ongoing. And there's a lot of discussion who did what, when, and why did they do it. And one thing, I've been interviewed several times on this, and what's this going to do? Are the Americans going to crack down on them? And what will the Senate do? And my answer from the beginning is still about the same. You know, ultimately, not a whole lot's going to change, because I think there's too many people in big places that want to maintain this arrangement, with U.S., Israel, and Saudi Arabia against Iran, and it will continue. And so there's a lot of agitating now and trying to figure out who to blame. Right now, I think most people in the world think that MBS, the Crown Prince, probably was involved in it. And yet he's the investigator, and he's going to take care of this. And he's turned over some names, of the bad guys. And people refer to that as the fall guys, are going to get blamed. But I think the American businessman is very much still involved. I think it's going to stay that way. There still is a lot of negative pressure out there against the Saudis. And what will the Americans do? They'll have to do something, for fluff. But we know, and we've talked about it so much, they're not concerned about human rights, because this individual's human right was violated, because they don't care about the killing in Yemen. So this is going to continue. But now they have to have a little bit of diversion of blame away from the Saudis, especially MBS, so that he gets out of it. Well, he's busy. He's investigating this whole thing, so he'll get to the bottom of it. But guess what? There's a lot of activity, and I know you've seen it. What is happening? They want to draw in Iran and say, well, it's something to do with them. They're really at fault. And yet they're really the ones they want to keep as their enemy, and they have to preserve this relationship. So even our friend at the State Department, Michael Pompeo, he's entered the fray, and they have Mnuchin involved with it, and a lot of people speaking out trying to shift the blame. So I think Pompeo came out with a classic, and we want to put a quote up or a tweet that he made about what he thinks is happening and why we should direct our attention to the Iranians.
Pompeo tweeted yesterday, 35 years ago, 241 Marines, sailors, and soldiers were killed in Beirut, Lebanon, by an Iranian-trained Hezbollah terrorist. We'll never forget these heroes who came in peace and gave their lives that awful day.
Well, there's a different story to that, too. I was very interested in that subject back then. I was in Congress, spoke out against it, and I recall Reagan writing about this later on, and he said it was unbelievable. He took responsibility for it. He says, I didn't understand the situation, and they shouldn't have been killed, and he took responsibility and said if he had not been deceived on this, those Marines would still be alive. Now, that's an amazing statement. So there's a little bit of shortcomings on who to blame on this, don't you think?
Yeah, and they're, like you say, and you said it earlier when we were talking about what to do, they're trying to distract. They're trying to divert attention away from Iran. Look, Iran is horrible and terrorist. But, just looking at this on the face, it's a joke. Because, first of all, the bombing of the Marines came in 1983. Hezbollah wasn't even formed until 1985. So there was no such thing. He blamed it on Iran when, in fact, it was they blamed it on Iran-backed terrorists. But, in fact, what President Reagan had foolishly done was insert these U.S. service members in the middle of a civil war, a Shia, Sunni, and other side civil war in Lebanon for no reason, had nothing to do with our national security. And when you insert your troops into another country's civil war, they're going to unfortunately get shot at. So it certainly doesn't detract from the horror of the bombing, but the mistake was all President Reagan's and his neocon advisors. And for Pompeo to try to make some hay out of it against Iran 35 years to the day yesterday later, is a little bit disingenuous.
He's probably listening to our programs, and he will issue that he made a mistake in a correction. But also, Mnuchin's very busy. He's Secretary of Treasury, but he's very much in foreign policy right now because he's over there making the trips. He's gone to Israel and talked to Netanyahu, and everything is beefing up. You know, the attack on Iran, and how are we going to put on these sanctions? We have to punish them. And he also talked to MBS, too.
Yeah.
And isn't that, I mean, if MBS is this almost acknowledged killer out there, and we have to do something about all these human rights, so our secretary goes over there, and he's dealing with them, and the businessmen. They're flocking over there. They're still writing contracts. So I didn't know it would move this quickly. I thought what would happen is it'd be more punishment quicker, and then in months to come it would smooth out, and we'd still be doing what we're doing. But it looks like they're not wasting any time to reverse this image now that the Saudis are bad people. And they have to prove they're our friends. We need them for the oil. We need them for selling weapons. They're good for our jobs. And that is sort of the position that is being held, in spite of the fact that there's a lot of shortcomings in this position, obviously, because our advice early on was, what are we doing there? Maybe if we had Ronald Reagan here again, maybe you say, you know, I was up like this once too, and I put troops for the wrong reason in Beirut. Maybe you guys should think this through. So, but we don't have that. We have a couple in the Senate that's trying to deal with
it. Yeah, we do. But we have a lot of neocons around the president. But President Trump is in a real bind here because the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, is absolutely central to his Middle East policy. I would argue even more so than Netanyahu, because the U.S.-Israel relationship has always been very set, you know, in many ways. But this Mohammed bin Salman is central to his project in the Middle East, to his strategy in the Middle East. And that's why I think they're desperate to try to divert attention from this, what increasingly looks like a pretty heinous crime that the Crown Prince was involved in. Now, not only did he dispatch Pompeo and Mnuchin, but he also dispatched Haspel, his CIA director, Gina Haspel, to Turkey to talk to Erdogan. And you can imagine what she's asking him. First of all, I need you to shut up because you're talking a lot about this murder. And Erdogan, of course, he's turning the screws because he's at a huge advantage. He's got all the cards in his hand. He can churn out little bits of intel. They found found his fingers in the garden. They found that he can keep doing that to keep this on the front page. So I think she wants to find out if the CIA wasn't already perhaps understanding what was going to happen. She wants to know what they know. She wants to get him to shut up, figure out what it's going to take to get him to shut up. You know,
when Mnuchin is talking to Netanyahu or MBS, he doesn't say it's all about money, even though money and oil is the big issue. But they talk about sanctions, the new sanctions coming up. And one other rule that they want to really enforce, if any country that gets oil from Iran and they don't cut at least their reception of oil from Iran by 20%, they can't get an exemption. They can't get a waiver. Isn't this sort of micromanaging? This is free trade, you know, free trade with threats and intimidations, military threats, as well as the sanctions. So both places, and Mnuchin's going to go to six other countries. It sounds like right now he's serving as the Secretary of State. Maybe they ask Pompeo to sort of stand aside because he was criticized because it looked like he was having too good a time with MBS.
Yeah.
So maybe they told Mnuchin that he best not smile if he's in the presence of MBS.
He's a pretty dour guy. Probably not hard to get him to not smile. But actually, you know, things are breaking even as we talk today, because this morning Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince, called Erdogan in Turkey at his own request. Can I give you a call? Called him and talked to him. And, you know, you almost have to admire Erdogan because he knows he's holding the cards. He's gonna get what he wants. He's going to probably get some compensation for the devaluation of the lira, which costs him a lot. He's going to get some billions in Saudi investment he's going to get. And it's going to be, you know, essentially a payoff to keep Erdogan quiet from pushing this too much further. So it's quite interesting. And also this big investment forum started today, and Mohammed bin Salman spoke, and he was talking about this crime was painful to all Saudis. We're going to take all legal steps to get to the bottom of this with this serious face, you know. So they're putting on a full court press, and the Trump administration is with them every step of the way.
Yeah, and they do it with a straight face. That's the amazing thing. And it's just sort of like they live in a different world. You know, as you were explaining, it sounds like just a good business deal between Erdogan and Saudi Arabia. And it is, in a way, but they live in a different world. It has nothing to do with real market forces. It has to do with military forces and power and control with currencies and threats and the desire to stay away from sanctions from us. So even though we get challenged at times and the dollar tends to move toward weakening, people still depend on it and they don't want to lose these contracts. So even when the European governments were getting a little bit worried, you know, about sanctions all with Iran, the businessmen were pretty unhappy. They thought, well, we have to obey or we're going to lose a contract. They do what, you know, they are doing something that should be expected. They're working in their own self-interest, but they're living in a different world. Their own self-interest is playing the political game. It has nothing to do with honesty and integrity and free trade and, you know, real human rights and, you know, the rule of law. None of that. It's all, they live in a world where power makes the law, and that's why we end up with it. They can even change dates on when things are done, and they can fudge old statements and think there's nobody's going to ever catch them.
Yeah, it's incredible. And now, you know, the U.S. is desperate to cover this up, as we said. You pointed out earlier on, some of this stuff just doesn't pass the smell test, the laugh test, whatever you want to call it. First of all, the fact that the Crown Prince is leading the investigation, you know, here's the prime suspect ultimately leading the investigation. But, you know, don't worry, Trump is taking action. He took action earlier today or late yesterday. He revoked visas and imposed extra screening procedures for the 21 Saudis suspected of involvement. Remember, Mohammed bin Salman arrested 18 people and said, these are the guys who did it. We got them. You know, you are not going to believe this. We got these bad guys. But when you look at these guys, and there was a piece by Reuters that I was looking at, and it was a profile of these people he arrested. We're supposed to believe these people acted completely on their own. Mohammed bin Salman knew nothing about it. They just went over there and decided, we got to kill this guy. Nobody, you know. Listen to some of these people who were among the 18. Saud al-Qahtani, he was Mohammed bin Salman's, quote, right-hand man. He was in charge of purging pro-Qatari people from the social media. In August 2017, he was on a Twitter thread, this fellow. This is one of the guys arrested. And he was calling for help to blacklist anti-Saudi Twitter people. This is a quote. So we're supposed to believe this guy's a totally independent actor. Here's a quote that he had on Twitter. Do you think I make decisions without guidance? I am an employee and a faithful executor of the orders of my Lord the King and my Lord the faithful Crown Prince. This is him just last year. So this guy all of a sudden has gone rogue and decided to start killing people. The other people, a couple of other ones real quick. Maher Mutreb was a senior intelligence officer and part of Mohammed bin Salman's personal security team. So this guy went rogue and went over there. Saleh Tubagi, forensics expert with the Saudi Ministry of the Interior's Criminal Evidence Department. Ahmad al-Asiri, former deputy head of general intelligence. These aren't some hoodlums that, you know, grabbed some saws and went over there and cut this guy up. These are his close inner circle, and we're supposed to believe that he had no idea that this was happening. If that's true, then this really was a coup. You know, people directly underneath him doing this.
You know, we've dealt with the idea of sorting this all out and trying to explain the inconsistencies or the flip-flops of the president, thinking that he might be here but pressured over here. Now, there was an article today, I think it was on Lou Rockwell's site, and it came out of the Monterey Institute. It was on foreign policy. And the thesis of the article said that since 1945, no president has had you know, control of foreign policy. You know, the deep state is very, very powerful, and they implied and said that, you know, the deep state didn't like Kennedy, you know, for foreign policy reasons, and they're very, very powerful. But if a president goes along with that, he can make some domestic decisions. But on foreign policy, that is sacred. And when you think of that, whether this story is absolutely true or not, I think a lot of our viewers would say that's the way it's been, and they would accept that. But it does explain things when you know. But what it means, it's really tragic, because probably Trump comes across as one of the most independent-minded people we've had in the presidency, yeah. And he goes his own way and takes on people. But there, that would explain the limitations that he has. But I don't, you know, it's sort of sad that that happens. But I can believe that the deep state is that powerful, and that our presidents really don't run a foreign policy. You know, it's run by internationalists. You know, it's not just one group, and so often, and it's good, and people are starting to realize this, and I think that's why they like Trump. Signing like he's challenging them. But when it comes to this, I don't think Trump really has deceived us, or he had to obey the first month he was in office, when he identified with exactly what we're talking about: close alliance with Saudi Arabia, close alliance with Israel, and a very, very strong antagonism toward Iran. And that's what happened immediately after he was inaugurated. And it's continued, and this has really been brought to the forefront. It's interesting that you know, Mohammed bin Salman, you know, was behind of this. I wonder if he sit back and says, you know, yeah, it's time to go. We got to get rid of this guy. I wonder if he thought he was smart enough where this would even make less. I think they'll overcome it. But it seems like he might have been naive to think, well, we'll do this and dispose of the body, and they'll never know. And in some way, he may be right in saying, they're not going to give up on us. We're too powerful. We spend too much money. We have their oil, and we're allied against Iran, and that is the driving force right now. The alliance against Iran, and they get blamed for a lot of things that, you know, the whole idea, if you did a polling in this country, which country, you know, involves themselves in the most amount of terrorism, they would probably say Iran.
Yeah.
You know, and yet it's just not true. It's not that they're innocent, but compared to what? You know, compared to all the mischief that we precipitated, you know, in Iraq and Afghanistan and all these places. I mean, and what Saudi Arabia does and what's happening in Yemen, it's minuscule. But the propaganda is out there, and the people do get convinced.
And you talk about allies. You know, this is an alliance between not just the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, but the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Israel against Iran. And this is really critical. It's central not only to Trump, it's central to Netanyahu's foreign policy. And actually, if we have a quote, if we could put it up, if I could find it. Talk about the deep state, too. It doesn't get more deep state than Martin Indyk, who's been in the Obama administration. He's been in the central power. He was in the AIPAC think tank. He makes an interesting point. He said, given that the U.S. made Saudi Arabia a pillar of its anti-Iran strategy, quote, we have to find a way to get the Saudi leadership, particularly Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, to take an active role, not only in terms of saying there will be a thorough, transparent investigation, we should aim for that, we're not going to get it, but also in terms of switching the channel and making the focus something positive. So here's a Clinton guy, here's an Obama guy saying this. Here, in fact, here's Clinton's or Obama's own ambassador to Israel saying the Israelis are in a very difficult position. They count very much on Saudi Arabia, which is central to their strategic concept of the region. And I think those things are so powerful, and that's why we're seeing it, actually a very fascinating play here between the indignation over the murder and the need for the maintenance of the status quo of U.S. alliances in the region. So in a way, it's almost pop the popcorn, but it is quite more serious than that. I don't want to make light of it. But Dr. Paul?
Yes. Yes, and as I started off by saying I don't think a whole lot will change, and I've believed that from the beginning, it's not that I'm not trying to have people think differently about our foreign policy, but it's locked in. We're interventionists. We make deals with some people that we shouldn't be making deals with. We should mind our own businesses, stay out of the deal-making business. It's not like nothing would happen. They think, well, what would happen if we weren't dealing with Saudi Arabia? Wouldn't oil be $500 a barrel? You know, I really don't think so. You know, there's people out there that want to sell oil. If we weren't in bed with Saudi Arabia, they eventually would want to sell oil to somebody, and the Iranians would be selling oil, and we would discover more oil. And they just don't understand how the marketplace could work. But nevertheless, it's a scheme right now to blame somebody else and not take responsibility for our actions and us precipitating these events. One day we'll wake up and say it's in our best interest, because we're broke, to just change our foreign policy and get out of the business of maintaining an empire. And lo and behold, they would have this magnificent discovery. Things actually would be better, economically speaking, and it would be better if anybody cared about human rights and more peace. It would be discovered that it can be achieved in a much different fashion than the policies that we have followed for the last 30, 40, 50 years. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.